Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of the End, Chapter 3, The Predicament of Our First Parents. This chapter is based on Genesis 3. No longer free to stir up rebellion in heaven, Satan found a new field in plotting the ruin of the human race. Moved by envy, he determined to bring upon them the guilt and penalty of sin. He would change their love to distrust, and their songs of praise to criticism of their Maker. Thus he would not only plunge these innocent beings into misery, but cast dishonor upon God and cause grief in heaven. Heavenly messengers opened to our first parents the history of Satan's fall and his plots for their destruction, unfolding the nature of the divine government that the prince of evil was trying to overthrow. The law of God is a revelation of his will, a transcript of his character, the expression of divine love and wisdom. The harmony of creation depends upon perfect conformity to the law of the Creator. Everything is under fixed laws that cannot be disregarded. But human beings alone, of all that inhabits the earth, are responsible to moral law. To them God has given power to understand the justice and goodness of His law, and of them unswerving obedience is required. Like the angels, the dwellers in Eden had been given time to show what they would do. They could obey and live, or disobey and perish. He who did not spare the angels that sinned could not spare them. Transgression would bring upon them misery and ruin. The angels warned them to be on guard against the schemes of Satan. If they firmly resisted his first subtle enticings, they would be safe. But if they once yielded to temptation, their nature would become so depraved that in themselves they would have no power and no inclination to resist Satan. The tree of knowledge had been made a test of their obedience and love to God. If they should disregard his will in this particular, they would be guilty. Satan was not to follow them with continual temptations. He could have access to them only at the forbidden tree. To accomplish his work undetected, Satan put on a disguise. The serpent was one of the wisest and most beautiful creatures. It had dazzling brightness. Resting in the forbidden tree, feasting on the delicious fruit, it was an object to arrest attention and delight the eye. Thus, in the garden of peace, lurked the destroyer. The angels had warned Eve to beware of separating from her husband. With him she would be in less danger than if alone, but she unconsciously wandered from his side. Forgetting the angel's caution, she soon found herself gazing with mingled curiosity and admiration on the forbidden tree. The fruit was beautiful, and she wondered why God had withheld it from them. Now the tempter had his opportunity. "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" Eve was startled to hear the echo of her thoughts. The serpent continued with subtle praise of her surpassing beauty, and his words were pleasant. Instead of fleeing from the spot, she lingered. She didn't suspect that Satan was speaking through the fascinating serpent. She replied, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." By eating from this tree, he declared, they would reach a higher level of life. He himself had eaten, and had acquired the power of speech. He implied that the Lord had jealously withheld it from them, in case they would be exalted to equality with himself, and that he had prohibited them from tasting or touching it, because this fruit imparted wisdom and power. The divine warning was merely to intimidate them. How could it be possible for them to die? Had not they eaten of the tree of life? God had been seeking to prevent them from reaching a nobler development and finding greater happiness. This has been the way Satan has worked from the days of Adam to the present time, and he has been very successful with this method. He tempts people to distrust God's love and doubt his wisdom. In their efforts to explore what God has withheld, multitudes overlook truths that are essential to salvation. Satan tempts them to disobedience, to believe they are entering a wonderful field of knowledge, but this is all a deception. They are starting down the road that leads to degradation and death. The subtlety of Satan's appeal. Satan told the holy pair that they would gain by breaking the law of God. Today, many talk of the narrowness of those who obey God's commandments and claim that they themselves enjoy greater liberty. What is this but an echo of the voice from Eden? In the day you eat of it, transgress the divine requirement. You will be like God. Satan did not let it appear that he had become an outcast from heaven. He concealed his own misery in order to draw others into the same position. So now the transgressors disguise their true character, but they are on the side of Satan, trampling upon the law of God and leading others to eternal ruin. Eve disbelieved the words of God, and this was what led to her fall. In the judgment, people will not be condemned because they conscientiously believed a lie, but because they did not believe the truth. We must set our hearts to know what is truth. Whatever contradicts God's word comes from Satan. The serpent plucked the fruit of the forbidden tree and placed it in the hands of the half-reluctant Eve. Then he reminded her of her own words, that God had forbidden them to touch it, lest they die. Seeing no evil results, Eve grew bolder. When she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. As she ate, she seemed to imagine herself entering upon a higher state of existence. And now, having herself disobeyed, she became Satan's agent to ruin her husband. In a state of strange, unnatural excitement, her hands filled with the forbidden fruit, she looked for and found him. Adam appeared astonished and alarmed. To the words of Eve, he replied that this must be the foe against whom they had been warned. Now, as God has said, she must die. In answer, she urged him, "Eat," repeating the words of the servant, that they would not surely die. She felt no evidence of God's displeasure, but sensed a delicious, exhilarating influence, thrilling every part of her body with new life. Adam understood that his companion had disobeyed the command of God. There was a terrible struggle in his mind. He mourned that he had permitted Eve to wander from his side. But now the deed was done. He must be separated from her whose society had been his joy. How could he endure this? Adam had enjoyed the companionship of God and of holy angels. He understood the high destiny open to the human race if they remained faithful to God. Yet all these blessings were lost sight of in the fear of losing that one gift, which in his eyes was of more value than every other. Love, gratitude, and loyalty to the Creator, all were swept aside by love to Eve. She was a part of himself, and he could not endure the thought of separation. If she must die, he would die with her. Might not the words of the wise serpent be true? No sign of death appeared in Eve, and he decided to brave the consequences. He seized the fruit and quickly ate. After his transgression, Adam at first imagined himself entering upon a higher state of existence. But soon the thought of his sin filled him with terror, The love and peace that had been theirs was gone, and in its place they felt a sense of sin, a dread of the future, a nakedness of soul. The robe of light that had enshrouded them disappeared, and to replace it, they tried to make a covering for themselves. While naked, they could not meet the eye of God and holy angels. They now began to see the true character of sin. Adam criticized his companion for leaving his side and permitting herself to be deceived by the serpent. But they both flattered themselves that the God who had given them so many evidences of his love would pardon this one transgression. They would not be subjected to so terrible a punishment as they had feared. Satan gloated. He had tempted the woman to distrust God's love, to doubt his wisdom, and to transgress his law, and through her he had caused the overthrow of Adam. The sad change that sin produced. The great lawgiver was about to make known to Adam and Eve the result of their transgression. In their innocence and holiness, they had joyfully welcomed the approach of their Creator. Now they fled in terror. But the Lord called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Adam blamed his wife, and so blamed God himself. "The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." Because of his love for Eve, he had deliberately chosen to give up the approval of God and an eternal life of joy. Now he tried to make his companion, and even the Creator himself, responsible for the transgression. When the woman was asked, "What is this you have done?" she answered, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." "Why did you create the serpent? Why did you permit him to enter Eden?" These were the questions implied in her first excuse. Self-justification was indulged by our first parents as soon as they yielded to the influence of Satan, and it has been exhibited by all the sons and daughters of Adam. The Lord then passed sentence upon the serpent. "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle, more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. From the most beautiful of the creatures of the field, it was to become the most groveling and detested of all, feared and hated by both man and beast." The words next addressed to the serpent applied to Satan himself, pointing to his ultimate defeat and destruction. "I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." Eve was told of the sorrow and pain that she must have. "Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." God had made her the equal of Adam, but sin brought friction, and now their union could be maintained and harmony preserved only by submission on the part of one or the other. Eve had been the first in transgression. By her urging, Adam sinned, and she was now placed in subjection to her husband. Man's abuse of the supremacy thus given him has too often rendered the lot of woman bitter and her life a burden. Eve had been happy by her husband's side, but she was flattered with the hope of entering a higher sphere than God had assigned her. In attempting to rise above her original position, she fell far below it. In their efforts to reach positions for which God has not fitted them, many today leave vacant the place where they might be a blessing. To Adam, the Lord declared, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." God had freely given them good, and had kept back evil, but they had eaten of the forbidden tree, and now they would have the knowledge of evil all the days of their life. Instead of happy labor, anxiety and toil were to be their lot. They would experience disappointment, grief, and pain, and finally, death. God made the first pair rulers over the earth and all living creatures, But when they rebelled against the divine law, the inferior creatures rebelled against their rule. So in mercy the Lord would show people the sacredness of his law and lead them to see the danger of setting it aside, even in the slightest degree. A plan of recovery for humanity. The life of toil and care now given to humanity was appointed in love, as a discipline made needful by sin, to place a check upon the indulgence of appetite and passion, and to develop habits of self-control. It was a part of God's great plan for the recovery of the human race. The warning given to our first parents, "In the day that you eat of it you shall surely die," did not mean that they were to die on the very day they ate the forbidden fruit, but on that day the irreversible sentence would be pronounced, and on that very day they would be doomed to death. In order to have endless existence, a person must continue to eat from the tree of life. Deprived of this, the vitality would gradually diminish until life would become extinct. It was Satan's plan that Adam and Eve would eat of the tree of life and thus prolong an existence of sin and misery. But holy angels were commissioned to guard the tree of life. Around these angels flashed the appearance of a glitter.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Leola, and I'm calling from Zachary, Louisiana. And I will begin with a prayer. As we were listening to the story of chapter 3 and Genesis, and we're talking about the temptation and the fall of man. So I will read some of these stories because that remind us every day, brothers and sisters, that we need to go before God in prayer and ask the Lord to strengthen us, because just as Satan tricked Eve, he is always seeking to do the same thing to us. So let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come before you just to thank you once again for another day, another time to get on this prayer line and share, and also to be blessed to share your word, to be able to host the prayer line and to invite others to come and sing and praise you and to give song, testimonies. All these things is to glorify you, Father. So, Father, we also pray for your Holy Spirit to fall afresh upon us tonight as we read, sing, and all these things to praise you. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Teach us, Father, what thus says the Lord according to your word. Now, Father, we pray for our brothers and sisters. May they come, Father, back to the prayer line and share and show what God has done for them. And Father, and also just to thank him for what he has done for them on the Sabbath or the whole week long. So thank you, Father. Once again, we ask you to bless your word. We ask that you, that this word be lifted up and we ourselves be drawn to you. Oh, Father, we thank you for all these blessings, and we ask that you please reach out to those that's on the prayer line, Lord, that have not heard your word, that don't know, but let them, allow them to come to the prayer line. And if they have a question or need to know about you, Lord, let them come and ask questions and talk and seek you, Father. So we just give you thanks, Father, for this prayer line. We're thanking you for the brothers and sisters that will come and share. We pray all this in your son, Yeshua, name we pray. Amen. And we want to thank you, brothers and sisters. We want to, I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3. This is a lesson that we take and study because we see how the serpent, how the devil is constantly at his work, at his job, want to deceive and confuse and all kinds of things. So let us read and see what God is showing us and how it's going to become more stronger in these last days. So let us, as we read this, what God has given to his people, he told Job, he said that, Job Satan have come and to deceive, to destroy, and to kill. He come to do all these things. So he say, beware, study, seek me, and believe. So let us begin to read. And I'm going to read verses 3. And it said, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, had God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may not eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die, for God do know that in that day ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And brothers and sisters, and I'm going to open the line because reading this, you know, just this verse between 3 and 5, these two verses, these two topics is very large. So I will open the line, and if you have any comment, you can comment on these two. And but when the Lord said that, when Eve told that serpent, brothers and sisters, but of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not touch, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Now, she said what God had told her. And then the serpent come back and said, you shall not surely die. But then he give her a whole line, for God do know that in that day you eat thereof. You see how he counteract with she had said? God do know in that day ye eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. So when she said he deceived her by, you know, we got to watch here because God had already told her to don't do it. And she allowed that to lure her closer to where she shouldn't have gone. I'm telling you, it is very dangerous to go and put your feet in the territory of Satan because he got her right there where he wanted her, and she was mesmerized. Her eyes was fixed on what she, and then he knew he had her right there. And let me go and let me go to this other verse. This other verse, what it says in verse 9. And he said, listen at this. And the Bible says that after Eve had done that, here we go, the blame game. And the Lord called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Now, when we read this, God asked Adam a question. Who told him? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee thou that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. Oh, but look at that. Have mercy upon us, Lord. So He didn't say, Father, Lord, Father, forgive me. I listened to my wife, and I did eat. I think God would have quickly had mercy, but yet he blamed her. Now she's about to do just the same. And the Lord said, the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. So now who is to blame after this? Now let's say 14. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat, and all the days of thy life. So we're going to stop there, and we are open for questions. Now, as we see how the serpent was so subtle and getting Eve, but what it was disobedient. The disobedience caused us pain, and this what happened to Adam and Eve. Now, if I'm open, I open the line. If anybody have any questions, you may speak. But I want to read what happened in prophecy. I like to read. If anyone have a question, have any question, you can press 1 and I can open your line, or you can speak because the line is open. Give me just a second, okay? I'm gonna close the lines because I know when my brothers and sisters ready to speak, but I would like to read. It says, okay, I highlighted some areas that I wanted to read. It says, when Adam and Eve hid themselves, and I'm reading verse in Spirit of Prophecy. It's Spirit of Prophecy, November 15, 1988, is IBID. It says, fig leaves will not cover sins. Adam and Eve both ate the fruit and obtained a knowledge which, had they obeyed God, they would have never had an experience in disobedience or disloyal to God, the knowledge that they were naked, the garment of innocence, a covering from God, which surrounded them, departed, and they supplied the place of the heavenly garment by sewing together fig leaves for an apron. This is the covering that the transgression of the law of God have used since the days of Adam and Eve. Disobedient, they have sewed together fig leaves to cover their nakedness caused by transgression. The fig leaves represent the argument used to cover disobedience. When the Lord called the attention of men and women to truth, the making of fig leaves into aprons will be begun to hide the nakedness of the soul, but the nakedness of sinner is not covered. All the arguments pieces together by all who have interest themselves in seamless work will come to nothing. Okay? And then I want to read this. And this would happen. This would happen. It brought on so much differences. It said the amalgamation brought noxious plants. It said not one noxious plant was placed in the Lord's great garden. But after Adam and Eve sinned, poisonous herbs sprung up. In the parable of the sower, the question was asked, the master, didst not thou sow good seeds in the field? How then had it tares? The master answered, an enemy had done this. All tares are sown by the evil one. Every nauseous, I think I'm pronouncing that right, nauseous, yes, that's what it is, nauseous urge is of his sowing, and by his ingenious method of machination, he has corrupt the earth with tares. And as we see today, brothers and sisters, the machination of the fruits and the plants, brothers and sisters, I went into Costco to buy me some lemons. And when I went to buy me a lemon, to put my hand on a lemon, it said seedless lemons. I'm like, what? A seedless? Because this is the first time that I have seen a seedless lemon in Costco. And I said, I can't even buy me lemons with seeds in it now. I'm like, this is crazy. So the problem now, it says the whole world. Now, I wanted to read that, and I will open the line because we have some that press one. Let me make sure I find this. I have checked it off. All things done become. Let me find just what I was reading. All kinds of sin. Everything is messed up because of. Hold on just a second. I had checked it off. Okay. Oh, wait. Here we go. The curse on all creation. That's what I want to read. The curse on all creation, and I will open the line after I read this. All nature is confused, for God forbid the earth to carry out the purpose he had originally designed for it. Let there be no peace to the wicked, said the Lord. The curse of God is upon all creation. Every year, it makes itself more decidedly felt. The first curse was pronounced upon prosperity of Adam upon the earth because of disobedience. The second curse came upon the ground after Cain slew his brother, Abel. The third curse was mostly dreadful. Curse from God came upon the earth at the flood. The land has felt the curse more and more heavily before the flood. The first leaf which fell and was discovered upon the ground caused those who feared God great sorrow. They mourn over it as we mourn over the loss of the dead friends. In the decayed leaf, they could see an evidence of the curse and the decay of nature. So, brothers and sisters, let me read this last little bit. The sin of man has brought the sure result of decayed deformity, death. Today, whole world is tainted, corrupt, stricken, and mortal disease. The earth groaning under the continual transgression of the inhabitants. Okay, and I think that's it. And now I will open the line. Oh, I got a little bit more. The Lord calls it upon the earth, upon man, and upon beasts, and upon the fish and the seas. And as the transgression become almost universal, the curse will be permitted to become a board and as deep as the transgression. Amen. So, brothers and sisters, we see that the curse of disobedience, it caused all problems on the earth until the Lord come back and clean it up. So we're going to begin to open the line because we have one that pressed one. So we want to thank you, brothers and sisters. And you know what? I am grateful to see the few that's on here. Because you know the Bible says, well, there's two or three, long as I have opened this prayer line and faithful to share, I'm thanking the Lord for you few that came on. So I will open the first line for 985 and 232. Your line is open, and I'm asking that my brothers and sisters be patient, and I will open your line. So please press 1 and you can share. Your line is open, 985-232.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. Well, from Baker, but living in Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank my brothers and sisters for being on the line. Thanks for everything. I thank God for everything he's doing for us. I would like to read this this prayer. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Hebrews 9:28. And this one here, prayer. He has risen. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Only he can judge the quick and the dead. Generous God, I long for the day that your Son returns to us. We are waiting patiently, your faithfully devotees. Amen. Oh, what a great God we serve. An awesome God we serve. And I mean, he's the master of the king. And we won't ask for nothing else because we know one thing. He's got all power. And we don't need nobody else because that's our Father in heaven with all the power. And that's the only God we serve because he have the love for us. He have the everything we need. And all we have to do is ask him, repent, and just study and obey. And he will give us what we need. So it's just doing that will make God give us a good life. And a lot of brothers and sisters, we all want to overdo it. And God bring all this destruction, and he gets tired. He's not the one to be destructive, but when too much go down, he just gets tired. So everybody say, why? What happened? Why? But I know why. That's why when I get through all this pain and suffering, I know what's going on through my iniquity. And that's, I just pray to God till he answers me and he stops it or he slows it down. And he do what I ask because he just know that I'm crying out to him, repenting, and asking him for the help me. So that's what he do. Amen. Brother John.
Yes, just like to say hello to everyone. This is Brother John. I'm calling from Baker, Louisiana at this moment. I just want to say, I just want to give God the praise as always. And I want to say that I was thinking about something, so I would share it with everyone. I was thinking in kind of a way as our bodies, like when it's being sent here, when it's first sent here, it's real decent as a child. And I know that as we grow up and we learn things, sometimes it get kind of like corrupted by the world, ways of the world, you know, in certain areas we'd be around and certain people we'd be around in the world. And I know that a lot of people, the ones that turn toward God, it's like they're cleaning back up their spirit. It's like kind of like cleaning it back up. And the day we leave, we'll be bringing it back to God, you know, just as trying to get it back closest to decent as when we first came to this world. If I may put it like that, it's kind of like a rental car. You know, everybody rent one and they want to bring it back as clean as they could bring it back, as decent as they could bring it back, so they don't have to pay extra prices. But my body, I'm kind of using that in an example. Do I want to send my spirit back as decent as I could send it, like the way it came here from the beginning, to please God? So I just wanted to share that with everyone. God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen, Brother John. We do understand, because, you know, what we have done over the years to our body, you know, and to clean it up, ain't nobody but God can do it. And as you allow your Father and your Savior to clean it up, He will do it. He will do it. So, and you continue to work on your part, and you know what? He say He will do the rest. So I'm just praising the Lord for you, my brother, because what I have seen since you have come back, since you got up out that bed, I've been seeing you walking and you're talking with the Lord. So I just give God praise for that. And I thank the Lord for Sister Brenda. When I heard Sister Brenda say, I will not stop drinking until the Lord stops me. But look what I hear now. I hear praise and I hear talk of the Lord. So, you know, we're just giving God glory and praise and what He's doing. So we just want to thank the Lord. And let me just thank you once again for coming on and being faithful. And we just continue to lift you all up in prayer. And we, and you know, it is truly a blessing that you all have been faithful to the ministry all the years that you've been coming on. So thank you. May God continue to bless you. Amen. And let's see if anyone else has pressed 1. We want to open the line for my brothers and sisters. Amen. We have others. So thank you, brothers and sisters. And the next person that pressed 1 is 518-744. And we will get to our next brothers and sisters. So just be patient. Amen. 518-744, your line is open.
Amen, Sister Leola. This is Brother Rick from Fort Ann, New York, and it was good to hear Sister Brenda and Brother John, and you know what, I appreciate their faithfulness. Man, they come on all the time, and they always have a good word, and that is so encouraging. It would be encouraging to all of us. We should all have a good word each time we come on. I was just really enjoying you reading from Genesis, Sister. You know, oftentimes we think we've heard those stories so many times that we don't really need to go over them again. But you know, there's so much goodness in that story, things that we can learn from. Still, you know, our nature has not changed from the time that man has fallen until now. We are still those same people bent doing our own will, and as Adam and Eve did in the garden, and we see what happened to us, and just, we have to get to the point where we're allowing God to work in us, to change us from the inside out, because if we keep doing our own will, as Adam and Eve did, we will have the same consequences as they did, which is. So I just want to encourage my brothers and sisters, when we learn something new, we have to incorporate that into our life. We have to ask God to give us the strength, the power to overcome. And funny, Sister, you're talking about appetite. And we're just listening to Walter Weiss here this afternoon. He was talking about that. We look at the story of Daniel and his friends in the book of Daniel, actually the first chapter of Daniel. They were tested on the appetite. It was the very first test that they received. There were about 800 young men taken to Babylon for, being trained to work in the king's court. And out of 800, only 4 stayed true to God on the temptation of appetite. And the second test that came to these young men was on worship, and the only ones that stayed faithful to God, Daniel's friends. Daniel was not there at that moment. He was in a different province at that time. So he was out there, but I'm sure he would have been faithful also. Those 3 men who had been faithful, the very first test of appetite, were the only ones who were faithful when it came to bowing down to idols. That's a real lesson to us. Satan said, sister, as you were reading, he said, the Lord told us that we should not eat of the fruit nor even touch it. And Satan said, lest, for the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. And Satan said, you shall not surely die. And that has been his message all along to all of us. Go ahead, indulge in appetite, indulge in sin, indulge in the things that bring you pleasure or make you think that you're going to be happy. And don't worry about it. You're not going to die. He's giving us that same message. Sister, I was just listening to Walter Weiss talk. He was talking about the leaders of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, not specifically Ted Wilson, but some of the leading theologians, those who were teaching in the seminaries, including Andrews, where my daughter went to school, where Brother Akeem graduated from. I am so pleased that Brother Akeem was grounded in the truth, because he could have come out of there believing the same things that these people are teaching, which is we don't have to evangelize. We don't have to tell other people what we believe. We just want to be peacemakers is the message that some of these people are teaching. We just want to, get everybody to come together, and we'll join on our common points that we have in common. The Muslims, they don't eat pork. Well, we don't eat pork. Well, the Jews, they have the Ten Commandments. We have the Ten Commandments. The Protestant denominations, they believe that Christ is their Savior. We believe that Christ is our Savior, so now we can all just get together at all these common points, and we're all good. And that's not the message that God has given us. He wants us to evangelize. Tell these people they have to come out of her, my people, otherwise they will die in their sins. And that was the first message that Satan gave to Eve: you shall not surely die. And we don't want to get caught up in that message, brothers and sisters. We want to be faithful to God and to what he has given us in the scriptures. And brothers and sisters, I just want I want you to pray for a woman that I'm working for. Her and her husband, he doesn't talk much on spiritual things. He's pretty much he won't commit on anything spiritual. But she calls herself a Christian, and the words that come out of her mouth are just horrendous at times. And I say to her, Judy, why are you talking this way? Well, I just get angry, and I can't help myself. God can help you. Well, but I just get angry, and I have to say these things. I mean, she's saying the F word, and I mean, she's just cursing and carrying on. And like, wow. But, I don't like to listen to that. I would rather not have you talking that way, because, God doesn't want you talking that way. And we got into a good conversation this past week, and she told me that, we're talking about, people doing certain things that are we know are wrong. And I told her, the Holy Scriptures point these things out to us. She says, well, what you believe on the Bible, that's just a bunch of old men who wrote things down and a bunch of stories in a book. And, wow, I was so taken back. I didn't know what to say. But Judy, the Bible is God's holy word. No, that's just a bunch of men. So, brothers and sisters, pray for me. I won't have an opening this week. That was last week on Thursday, I believe. No, Friday. Thursday or Friday. I thought about this over the weekend, and it came to me, you know, I want to ask you, Judy, what do you base your belief on God in? We can't, you know, do you base it on the traditions of men that you've been passed out, or do we base it on the Bible, if we know it's God's holy word? And I just want to try to bring to her the truth that, you know, God's word is the truth. It's the only thing that we can count on, not the traditions of the church or whatever it is that has been passed down, or maybe your parents or family. We have to look to God's word as the only truth. So please pray for Judy and pray for me that I'll get a chance to talk to her and bring her the light that God has given to me. I want to point her to Christ. Christ can keep her from cursing and getting angry at her neighbors and these things. And I mean, I just want to give her these truths that we don't have to be stuck where we are. God wants us to progress to a higher plane, to a higher place. So please pray for Judy, and also I want prayers for one of our church members, Kevin, who has cancer, and his wife is very, she's quite upset about the whole thing. She is not blaming God, though. She is actually not a member of Seventh-day Adventist Church, but she has requested baptism. Our pastor has been studying with her, and Tammy will be baptized on December 4th. So I'm going to pray for Kevin and Tammy, that God will be with Kevin and his cancer, and that he will continue to work in Tammy's life. And I just want to ask for prayers for brother-in-law. He has got some health issues, and they can't find out what's wrong with him. He's got a lot of pain. And I just talked to him this afternoon, and he's not feeling well at all. He yet seemed to figure out what's going on with him. So please pray for my brother-in-law, Emmett. And my wife is not feeling well. She's had quite a bout of things going on with her, many different health issues, and feel well. She's been working, and I think she's been working too hard. Part of it, I think she's not paying attention to God's eight health laws, and one of them is rest, and she isn't getting enough. Please pray for my wife. Thank you very much, sister, for opening my line. I just appreciate you hosting, and I love just listening to you when you read from Scripture. It gives me a lot of inspiration. Thank you.
Amen, amen. And Brother Rick, we will offer the prayer for your family. Well, let us offer a prayer now, brothers and sisters. Please be in prayer with me as we lift up Brother Rick and these prayers he has. I believe you were talking about Ashley. Ashley, you were saying,
no.
Right? Who was that?
I didn't mention Ashley. Ashley is doing quite well.
Oh, praise God.
Actually, I was supposed to call her today, and I did not. I went out and saw her two youngest children this past week. I had to go down, take a look. They need some work done on one of their rooms there, so I told their father I would come down and take a look. And but she's doing really well. And just praise the Lord for that. But please continue praying for her also, because she has not come back to church yet. But we're praying for her.
The first person you was talking about, you said pray for.
Judy.
I didn't get the name.
Judy? Her name is Judy. Judy, yes.
Oh,
she is a customer of mine. And I just want to pray that, you know, God will enlighten her mind, you know,
Okay, Judy. Okay, so Judy, sisters and brothers, Sister Ashley, Kevin, and Tammy, and pray for his brother-in-law and his wife. Let's just lift them all up in Brother Rick. So let us offer their prayer. Okay. What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arm. What a blessedness, what a peace of mind, leaning on the everlasting arm. Leaning, yes, I'm leaning, leaning on the everlasting arm. Oh, Father, we're leaning on the name of your Son, Yeshua. Oh, Father, we come before you, Father, to thank you, Father, for what you are doing with your Son in heaven, interceding for us, Father. And, Lord, we bring these names before you. Lord, Father, Brother Rick have brought names to you, Father, praying for friends and family, Lord, even those he have been ministering to, Father. We ask him, dear Lord, right now, you come and help us, Lord. Give us strength, Father, because it's nothing we can do about ourselves, Lord. Lord, Father, you hear Brother Rick, Lord, speaking to this young lady, Judy. And, Father, oh, Father, hold her tongue. And, Lord, turn her heart to you, Father, that she may seek you with all her mind and her soul, and that she may love you. And, Father, and lift up your name with praise. Oh, Father, right now we just call upon the most holy and righteous one, Father, our Savior. Oh, Father, forgive us for our sins, Father, right now, Lord, because we have no other to come to. Lord, we lay our feet, our hand, our mind before our Savior, and we call upon the name of Yeshua because he is the only answer for us, Father. And we thank you right now, Father, as Brother Rick have offered and bring these Jews to you, Father. We asking right now, Father, for Sister Ashley, Lord. You've been working with her, Lord. It is your timing, Father, to work with her, to bring her to church, or to she can have her worship in her home or however. Lord, you're working with her, Father. Help her right now to turn to you, Father. We're living in the last days, Lord. We got to make it right with you. So forgive us, Lord. Lead and guide us. Teach us, Father, your will. And, Father, we ask for this blessing upon Ashley right now. Father, she have children that she need to bring to you. She need to continually to put her children up in prayer, not her mother and her father, but her father, because those are her children that you've given to her. So, Father, I'm just grateful that she's doing so much better, Father, is that you called us to repentance and you called us to your salvation, and that we turn to you and asking for forgiveness and seeking wisdom and knowledge in all your ways, Father. Thank you right now. Now, Lord, we also lift up Tammy. We lift up Brother Kevin. Father, we lift up these souls to you, Father, because some people don't know yet, Father, and that's why we ought to be preaching this three angels message. People don't understand, Lord, Father, and I met a young man just a couple of days ago, and I asked him, did he know anything about the beast? Do he know anything about certain things? He said, oh, ma'am, I'm a Catholic. And I say, well, sir, there's nothing wrong with that. I say, right now, it's time to get to know your Savior. So, Lord, I lift them up to you, Father, right now, Lord, Father. These young men and women today need to know that that mark of the beast will be placed upon them if they don't draw closer, if they don't know you. So, Father, right now, Lord, Father, allow your men and women, your young boys and young girls, whomever you put that word in, Father, let them go out with power of the Holy Spirit to teach and to give your word a loud sound, to blow that trumpet, Lord, Father. Help us today because people are ready, Father, to hear the word, and but yet they have no laborers out there, Father. Have mercy upon this world today, Father. Oh, that revelation, Lord, Father, 18, the Bible is telling his people to come out of her, my people, and that you partake of not of our sin. But, Lord, you say, who shall go? Lord, I say, send me, Lord. I shall go and tell them, Father, about your word. So, Lord, have mercy right now, Lord. Lord, Father, there's many don't understand that when you say, come out of her, my people, Lord, first they must understand why they should come out and who they should serve, Lord. People don't have nowhere to go, Lord. They don't understand. So, Lord, please have mercy. Lord, you say you will finish your work and cut it short in righteousness. Mm-hmm. So, Lord, right now, Father, we lift up Tammy. We lift up Kevin. These souls belong to you, Father, and they don't want to be lost. These people, I know many people want to be saved in your kingdom. And so, Heavenly Father, please have mercy. Have mercy on the souls that have mercy upon my son Jarvis, Lord. Lord, Father, only you know him. So, Lord, I'm asking that you touch his heart, Father. Help him to be sick and tired of his ways, and that he may turn to you and say, Heavenly Father, what must I do to be saved? Oh, Father, to give up all that wickedness and say, Lord, I've come, here I am, take me, I'm yours. Oh, Father, thank you right now. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your tender mercy that you bestowed upon us, Father. Lord, I lift up Sister Brenda and Brother John to you, Father, asking that you continue to strengthen them, leading God, Brenda, Father, and because I do know she seeks to know you, and she wants to be friend my sister-in-law and to help my sister-in-law and bring to my sister-in-law the word of God because she had mentioned the Sabbath. Oh, Father, I'm asking you to touch my sister-in-law's heart. Lord, Father, she knew the Sabbath. She knows about the Sabbath. So, Lord, Lord, if she rejects, it'll only be her fault, Father. So help her right now while the blood is still running warm in her body. Oh, Father, help many, many of us, Lord, even us that Seventh-day Adventists, Lord, where we are going wrong. So, Father, I'm asking you to continually to work it out with us, Father, to be obedient, Father, because the only way is obedience. The Bible say our robe must be washed and clean, may it be white and with the righteousness of Christ. Oh, Father, thank you right now. And, Lord, if I have forgotten any, Lord, I lift up Sister Power, her family to you, Father. Oh, Father, I'm thanking you for what she have done, Father, with me and sharing and teaching and mother and all these things, Father. I thank you for her, Father. I'm lifting up Sister Carla, Brother Judy, his family, Lord, the baby that just was born. I'm lifting up all his children to you, Father. Oh, Father, Brother Rick, Lord, Father, he's been very long with you, Father, with this prayer line, working as the treasurer and all these things, Father. He don't have to do any of these things, but, Lord, he chooses to work for you. So we thank you, Lord. Well, I lift up this prayer line for you, Father, because this prayer line, Lord, may we serve you in righteousness. May we serve you sincere and true to the heart. So, Father, thank you right now. Lord, I lift up everyone has come to this prayer line that each and every one have heard your voice on this prayer line. Lord, don't allow us to be lost because we have heard things. And we should know things. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you. I lift up my family, Lord, to you, asking that you continue to be with us and watching over us, my granddaughter, Myri, and Shyla and Jarvis. Lord, Father, everyone. Lord, if I miss someone, Brother Eli always praying. Oh, thank you, Father. In the name of Yeshua, we pray. Amen. And Brother Rick, I just want to thank you. I took a little long. I didn't mean to take that long because I got more lines to open. So thank you once again, Brother Rick, for coming on and being faithful. to the prayer line. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm sorry a while, but let's open the line for our next caller. Amen. Amen. 518-951, your line is open. 518, your line is open. Sister Powell?
Yeah, good evening, my dear beloved brothers and sisters. This is Sister Powell. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leela. And also thank you for praying. And thank God that you, God, have been using our brothers and sisters to come on the line and to share their testimony and their praise. You know, God is a God that listens, he hears, and he knows our need. And as we listen to our dear beloved brother, Elder Rick, praying for Kenneth, also for Julie, and, you know, the one who will be going into the watery grave December, you know, that's a good news. And we know that Jesus is always there by the power side. You know, he is there working out everything for us. And also the various report and requests from our dear brother John and Sister Brenda. God is so good. I will just read a little passage here, and it comes from Psalms 30, and it's, do not worry. Brothers and sisters, we are living in a time that we are worrying. There's a lot of people just worrying, you know, worry themselves. They do not worry about the wicked. Do not envy those who do wrong. Quick as the grass they withered, fading like the green of the field. Trust in the Lord and do what is good. Make your home in the land and live in peace. Make God your only joy, and he will give you what your heart desires. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will act, making your virtue clear as the light, your integrity as bright as noon. Be quiet before the Lord and wait patiently for him, not worrying about men who make their fortunes, about men who scheme to bring the poor and needy down. That's what we're facing enough. Enough of hunger, outrageous sight. Do not worry. Nothing but evil can come of it, for the wicked will be expelled, while those who hope in God, have hope in God, shall have the land for their own. A little longer, and the wicked will be no more. Search his place well, he will not be there, but the humble shall have the land for their own, to enjoy and trouble peace. So, brothers and sisters, the Lord is telling us about a little longer, and the wicked will be no more. We have seen what is happening into this world, all the things that is coming down, and we know that the wicked are trying to prosper. But the Lord said, a little longer, and there will be no more. And he said, search his place well, and he will not be there. But the humble shall have the land for their own, to enjoy and trouble peace. So, brothers and sisters, I am so grateful for these wonderful, encouraging words about the humble. As we gather each night on this line, giving praises to God, singing songs, sharing the word, be obedient to his command, and keep his laws, and also not only keep it for our own, but for us to humble ourselves before him, be obedient to him, so that we can carry out the gospel message, the three angel message, to the dying world. Brothers and sisters, the Lord is coming soon. Soon and very soon we shall see the King. Let us be humbled. Let us be righteous in his sight, and to be obedient to his will, to do what he wants us to do. So I'm asking, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, to lift up the Canvas family at this time. They need it, especially, you know, people who are hurting. And when we look and we saw how wickedness can come upon the land, wickedness that people do not care about one another, doing all different evils to their brothers and our sisters, the Lord is there to comfort and to calm all those, dear Father, who are worried at this time and who are troubled. So my prayer tonight is for us to continue to lift up the world at large, our brothers and our sisters out there, the sick and the afflicted ones there, our ministers, our leaders, and our brothers and sisters, and especially those up on the line. So I will not spend no more time, but I will just ask, you know, everyone to remember myself and my family members at this time. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Thank you, Sister Powell.
Amen. Amen. I want to thank Sister Powell for coming and sharing with us, brothers and sisters. And we always know Sister Powell really gives her reading and showing that the three angels' message, we should be sounding it out loud, that we shouldn't be quiet. This message need to go out around the world, because Christ says this got to go out, and that's the only way he's coming back. So it got to be finished. So now, brothers and sisters, we going to open the next line for Brother Eli. And after Brother Eli, I just want to mention, brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem will not be on tonight because he had an emergency. So we just keep him in prayer. I forgot to lift him up in prayer. Sometimes it's the Leola forget. So we want to lift him up in prayer also because he had emergencies. So, and let us open. And Sister Powell, if you have time or if you could, you can offer a prayer after Brother Eli testimony. That's if you have time, Sister Powell. 7505, we're going to open your line.
Hello, sister. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, my brothers and sisters on the prayer line. How are you today, beloved brothers and sisters? This is Brother Eli. I'm from Boston. I'm calling from Boston. I like to thank God, Sister Miola, because God is good. He's worthy. He is worthy to be praised, Sister Miola. I have a prayer request, Sister Miola. Sister Miola, Sinai, there was they having a 7-day of prayer to Sister Miola every Saturday, and they're gonna finish in January, the 1st of January, Sinai. They're gonna have like 4 p.m. and 12 a.m. 12 a.m. on Saturday. So Sister Miola, I am inviting Sister Power to on the prayer thing, Sinai. 4 p.m. to 12 a.m. in YouTube. In the information system, Yola, Sister Power have to do it in YouTube too. There's something in YouTube, Sinai, SDA Church Live. And Sister Miola, I have a lot of prayer requests. My prayer request tonight is to pray for my mother. Lift up my mother in prayer because my mother needs a lot of prayer. Sister Miola, don't forget to pray for Sister Shamika. Lift up Sister Shamika in prayer. Sister Miola, I want Sister Power to pray for Sister Shamika. Lift up Sister Shamika in prayer. Pray for Brother Jahar, because Brother Jahari needs a lot of prayer, Sister Miola, that the Lord will baptize him. Pray for Brother Jahari because he's a young man, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, I'm asking for Sister Power to pray for our dear Sister Jenny. Her name is Sister Jenny, too. Live for Sister Jenny in prayer. J-E-N-N. and why, Sister Jenny. Pray for Sister Jenny. Pray for Brother Javel, Brother Jahari. Pray for all of them, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, God is good. God is worthy to be praised. I want to sing a song of praise, Sister Miola. I praise the Lord with all my soul, Sister Power, with all my soul. I praise the Lord. I praise with my mouth. I praise with my life. Everything I do, I praise you, Lord. Sing, Sister Miola. Sing, Sister Power. Everything I do, I praise you, Lord. I praise you, Lord. With all my soul, with all my soul. I praise you, Lord. I praise with my mouth. I praise with my life. Everything I do, I praise you, Lord. Everything I do, I praise you, Lord. Sister Power, I want to do a prayer for Sister Viola, some grandson. I want to do a special prayer at the moment. God, Heavenly Father, God, we magnify your name, Lord, at this moment, God. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola, God, who is hosting the prayer line, Lord. We ask God to give Sister Miola the strength, God. We ask God to give Sister Miola deliverance, Lord. We ask God to give us Sister Miola the strength, Lord. God, we want to lift up Ray, Lord. We want to lift up Brother Ray, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola, God. God, we ask God to break every chain for them, Lord. We ask God to give them the victory. We ask God to watch over them, God. God, we want to lift up Sister Miola's grandson, Lord, Greg, Lord. We ask God, allow Brother Greg, God, to come in the prayer line, God, to share his testimony, Lord. Allow him to share his testimony, Lord. God, allow Brother Greg, Lord, to come on the prayer line, God, to bring your word, Lord, to bring the message on this prayer line, Lord. We ask God to touch his heart, God. God, we ask God to help. God, we ask God to help him, God, to study the word, Lord. God, we ask God, allow Sister Miola, God, to help her grandson, Lord Greg, Lord, to study the word, to study the Bible, Lord. We ask God to watch over him, God. We ask God to strengthen him, Lord. God, we want to lift up Sister Power, God, from upstate New York, Lord. Lord, we ask God to give Sister Power the strength. We ask God to give Sister Power deliverance, God. God, we want to thank you, God, for what you have done for Sister Power, God. God, we want to praise you, God. We want to magnify your name, Lord. God, bless Sister Power, God, in a special way, Lord. God, watch over Sister Power, God. God, we want to lift up Sister Power's family, Lord. Watch over Sister Power's family, God. God, we ask God to bless her family, Lord. God, we want to lift up Brother Rick, God, in a special way, Lord. God, we ask God to watch over Brother Rick, God. God, bless Sister Ashley, Lord. Lord, we ask God, allow Brother Rick, allow his daughter, God, Ashley, to come in the prayer line too, Lord. Allow Sister Ashley, God, to come in the prayer line, God. God, allow Sister Ashley, God, to share her testimony, God. Allow Sister Ashley, God, to bring a word of God. Allow Sister Ashley, God, do not be afraid, Lord. God, we ask God, allow Sister Ashley to read Psalm 27. The Lord is my walk and my salvation. Who shall I be afraid? God, we ask God to come deliver Sister Ashley, Lord. God, we ask God, allow her to study the Bible, Lord. God, we ask God, allow Brother Rick, God, to call his daughter, Lord, and say, Ashley, you have to study the word. You have to study the Bible. God, we ask God to watch over her, Lord. We ask God, allow her to bring the message on the prayer line, Lord, to Lord. Bless her, God. God, bless her, God, in a special way, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko's daughter. Bless Sister Tamiko's grandson, Lord. Bless Sister Tamiko's nephews, her nieces, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Watch over them, God. God, watch over them, God. God bless Sister Carla, Lord. Watch over Sister Carla, Lord. God, God, God. We want to live from the family of Kavia, Lord. Brother Yudi Kavia, Lord. Bless them, Lord. Watch over them, God. Watch over Sister Miola. Watch over Sister Power, God. God, we ask to God to watch over Sister Power, God. Watch over Sister Sandra, Lord. We ask to God to strengthen them, Lord. We ask to God to give them deliverance, God. We ask to God to give Sister Power deliverance, Lord. Watch over Sister Power, God. God, give Sister Power the victory, God. Give Sister Power deliverance. Give us deliverance, God. Watch over us, God. God, in the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Miola. May God bless you all on the prayer line. Amen.
Amen. Brothers and sisters, you heard our brother. He prayed for us. Oh, thank you, Lord, for this blessing that we have gotten tonight. Thank you, Father. So, brothers and sisters, just to let you know that Brother Akeem will not be on tonight. And Sister Leola was just reading. I have no one to bring the message in. And Brother Rick just didn't have it all tonight. He said next time he would have it for us. He just didn't get his study together, so I asked him early before we started. So he's going to have it for us another time. So what I was reading earlier about Genesis chapter 3, the fall of man. And as I played the predicament of man and the fall of man, when God told Eve not to touch the tree, and then the devil came to tell her that in verse 6, for God do it. But the devil told her, he said, and the serpent said unto woman, that you shall not die, for God do know it, that in that day ye shall eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. So when Satan comes to Adam and Eve, the first parents, and to deceive them, and brothers and sisters, where do we think we stand? You know, they were deceived and they were perfect in God. So we can't be trampling up on the word while we read this word of God. We got to be careful, because as the devil is seeking after souls and ready to destroy, oh, brothers and sisters, we have to stay prayed up. We got to be obedient. And I pray myself, I'm telling you, weakness, brothers and sisters, comes. But let me tell you, we must pray, because prayer, the Bible tells us, the door. So we must pray that God strengthen us and help us, because that's where our strength lies, in the Lord. So as we see how Satan tripped Eve and had her to focus, and when he caught her right there in the midst of the garden, looking at that tree, she stayed there and she focused. But if she had not touched it and been obedient, the Bible said they were perfect and God would have blessed. So as I was reading how the curse of all creation, just because of that sin, all creation have been cursed. And as I was speaking, brothers and sisters, when I went into Costco, and you know that's where I would buy my lemons from Costco. And when I buy my lemons there, the lemons always was seeded, and it had the seeds. But this week, I went there, and I was saying earlier, I looked, and it says no seedless lemons. I was in shock. I'm not like, Lord, now I got to go hunt or search for a seeded lemon, because the Bible wants us to take that of the seed. Things are beginning to be so hard to find now. So, brothers and sisters, as these things are becoming more less likely to find, you know, the Lord tell us we must plant. And to learn how to plant and to learn how to grow your own food, we must begin with the plants in the house. Brothers and sisters, I gave my sister Brenda a plant, and she never raised a plant. And now she's raising a plant, a nice ivy. And I tell her that just watch it, and it tells you when it needs some water. And by God's grace, when you see how that plant is taken to you, that plant will take to you, and you begin to know it and know what to do for it. And that's how God wants us to, that's how God worked with us. And that's how he wants us to work in seeing that, you know, we need to start trying to grow some food, because things right now, as I was looking, I went to the store today and I was reading on this can. I said, now look at this canola oil. Everything is corrupt, everything. And I said, now, I told my daughter, I said, no, I don't want to buy this. I said, I'm going to work out something to where I can come up with something to fix it without all these ingredients. So I just want to thank God. He is showing us, sisters and brothers, the curse is on all creation. And as I was reading, the reason why the Bible says the tares was in the field, because the curse of the beginning. When the curse happened, the Spirit of Father said everything was just poison or just corrupt. As I read right here, it talks about amalgamation. And amalgamation, I believe, is saying that amalgamation of mixing the seeds, and these things are not good for the body, because the things that God had given man, every herb and seed to bear our food, brothers and sisters, these things produce good blood, good for our body. So, and as I see what sin hath done, so just pray. Pray, brothers and sisters. We all got to pray. And we got to learn. As I was reading in here, it also said we got to start practicing obedience. I saw it. I've been reading here in the prophecy under the Genesis, talking about begin to practice obedience, okay? And I would have to look through it. I don't have it right before me. I have it before me, but I can't put my hand on it right now. But I just saw it a little bit earlier about practicing obedience. So let us try to read and study and ask the Lord for the strength, because there's no strength in us. So I just want to give God thanks for that. So, brothers and sisters, we're going to offer another prayer. We're going to ask for another prayer. Amen. We're going to ask for another prayer. So if there's anyone else who would like to share, you can press 1 as we are on the line. We have others to join us. If there's anyone else you'd like to share, press 1 and your line could be open. But other than that, brothers and sisters, I'm so grateful to see that my brothers and sisters have joined. But I will ask Sister Powell if she would bring a prayer, another prayer, before I play a clip for the prayer line. Amen. If you have the time, Sister Powell, I'm open your line, because
okay.
I know you might be
all right.
A bit
okay.
tired.
You're
Amen.
Hearing
if
me?
You can. Yes, ma'am.
You're hearing me? Okay.
Yes,
right.
Ma'am, I can hear you.
I will just sing this little song, and then as we have been listening to the reading, right, the Lord wants us to live out our life within us. I'm going to sing this song. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of kings. Be thou thyself the answer to all my questioning. Live out thy life within me in all things of thy way. I, the transparent medium, thy glory to display. The temple has been healed and purified of sin. Let thy Shinella glory now shine forth from within, and all the heart keep silent, the body henceforth be thy silent, gently servants move only as by thee. Its members every moment yield subject to thy will, ready to help thee use them or not be used at all. Held without restless longing or strain or stress or fret or chiding at thy dealing or thought of vain regret, but restful calm and appealance from bending and bestow, awaiting thy decision when thou hast need of me. Live out thy life within me, O Jesus, King of kings. Be thou the glorious answer to all thy questioning. Kind and loving, righteous Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you, Lord, with your wonderful promises that you have given unto us, Lord, for us to be obedient, that we can live out our life within us, because you are the King of kings. You are the Lord of lords. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the high priest who is in the most holy sanctuary now, interceding. You are the one can give us victory over sin. You are the one, dear God, can give us salvation. You are the one can allow us to be clean, wash us white as snow. You are the one, dear Father, who said unto us, Lord, if we confess our sin, you are faithful and just to forgive us. You are the one who have placed the Ten Commandments, the commandment of God, for us to be obedient, to follow all ten, and not only the fourth commandment, Lord, but we know that the fourth commandment will be the test of the world, and for us to go out, with that Sabbath message, the fourth commandment that you said, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Father, this is a command you have given unto all your children, your sons and your daughters who are on the line, Lord. Those, dear Father, who are studying your word. And you said the wages of sin is death, Lord. And you want us to be obedient to all the commandments that we can share to the dying world. So we want to thank you. We want to thank you for the sweet fellowship of our brothers and our sisters on this line, Lord, that you brought us together as one so that we can share our testimony, our praise in song, and the testimony of others praying for our brothers and sisters. Listen to the wonderful prayers, the scripture reading, the testimonies. Father, we want to give you thanks because you said to us, we are two or three gathered together doing the things concerning your will. You are the one. You are there with us. You said we must trust you. You said we must not be afraid. You said you are our refuge. You are our strength in time of trouble. You are our various help. You said we must not fear no evil because thou art with me, us, Lord. You are with us right along the way. Whether we are going through the hard time, Lord, you are there. When our burdens, our trials, our pain, our distress is so much, you are dear to guide and to help us. You are the one, dear Father, who have led the children of Israel from Egypt to the promised land on dry ground. You are the one, dear Father, who will destroy the wicked while they came off the children there, and you allow them to drown, go down, both with their chariot and their horses. Father, so you are so great. So as we come to you this moment, Lord, we come because we know that we need help. Lord, each one of us on the line need help, Lord. We need help for our own spiritual life. We need help for us to be obedient to your will. We need help for us to be praying more often. We need help for us to be studying your words more. We need help, Lord Jesus, for us to go out with your gospel message to teach. We need help, Lord Jesus, to be obedient, to love our brothers and our sisters. So, dear Father, each one of us need you at this, and we ask you to pour out your blessings upon us. We have seen what you have done, dear Lord, as our dear beloved sister just read with Genesis, Lord, that you have created everything. You gave us the food that we should eat, dear Father, in Genesis 1, the herb for our meat, Lord, and also our medicine. You go back again and you said that you wish above all things that your children would prosper, so that when we eat the good food that you have given unto us and be obedient in your command of health, the health reform and the health message, and we are obedient to you, you said you will not cause any of these diseases to place upon your sons and your daughter like what you have done to the Egyptians. So, Lord, we want to thank you for these promises. And, Lord, as you told Eve not to touch from that tree, not to eat from that tree, and we saw what disobedience and sin have caused to the world. So tonight, Lord, we just want to thank you that we can come. Let us reason together. Despite our sins is like scarlet, and our like snow, and our sins like scarlet, you can make them as white as snow. So, Lord, we come before you because we have a need this moment for you to enter in. And as we open our heart to receive you tonight, we ask you to pour out all your blessings upon us. And as we listen to your word, dear Father, we ask you to strengthen us, Lord. Bless our little precious children, Lord, upon this line and our family members. I present the Campbell's family tonight who is mourning, dear Lord. I present the husband, Lord Jesus, dear Father. We have heard from him, and Lord, he was so troubled, Lord, because he feel he was not handled in the right way. But give him the strength. Lord, I present Jordan and Chanel to you, Lord. I give you praise and thanks to what you have done. Allow the grandmother to go back for Chanel, Lord, and she is home with them now, Lord. You are so good. You answer our prayer, and we want to give you thanks tonight, dear Father, for the rest of period of things that will be happening on this line, dear Father, to listen to a message or a sermon or another prayer. We ask you to pour out your blessings upon each one of us. And as we present all these requests to you in the most holy sanctuary, we ask you to hear them and answer them according to your will. We want to thank you again. We want to praise you again for Jovel, Shimel, Shaniko, Lord, we place her to you, Tony and Tamiko and Brother Eli again, dear Father, his mother, Rose Isma, and from the week of prayer meeting at her church, at his church, we ask you to pour your blessing. Bless us, Lord, Brother Kenneth, we place to your Aunt Julie. We ask you to touch her again, Lord, and Ashley, Brother Rick, and his wife, Lord, who is not feeling well. We present them to you again, Lord. We present Jordan Jarvis again to you, Father. Strengthen him, Lord, and his children, and also Sister Leola and Brother Rick, Elder Rich, and also Brother John and Sister Brenda. We leave everyone to in your care. Sister Stephanie and her children, Lord. Sister Payne, Sister Lynn, and everyone, Lord, who join us. And bring back all your people, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Sister Power. And thank you, Sister Power, again, for the prayer. And we want to just give our sisters and brothers a few more. We're not going to play a script. We're not going to play the clip. We're going to read a couple more prophecies, and then we will close. I got like three prophecies I'm going to read. They're not long. They are short. And this is going to sum up the falling of creation, where the fall of man. And this one is man under God's supervision. I'm going to read that one, and we're going to read the mildest test given, and we're going to read one other one. They're short, and the other one is a token of God's love. That would be the last. Okay, we're going to read, starting now, man's under God's supervision. The physician organism of man is under the supervision of God, but it is not like a clock, which is set in operation and must go off itself. The heartbeat, pulse succeeds pulse, breath succeeds breath, but the entire being is under the supervision of God. Yea, are God husbandmen, ye are God building. In God we live and move and have our being. Each heartbeat, each breath, is the inspiration of him who breathed into the nostrils of Adam the breath of life, the inspiration of the ever-present God, the great I am. Amen. Now we're going to read the mildest test given. It says, with what interest the whole universe watched the conflict that was to decide the position of Adam and Eve. How attentively the angels listened to the words of Satan. Listen to the words of Satan, the originator of sin, as he placed his own ideals above the commander of God and sought to make a none effect the law of God through his deceptive reasoning. How anxiously they waited to see if the holy pair would be deluded by the tempter and yield to his arts. They asked themselves, will the holy pair transfer their faith and love from the Father and Son to Satan? That's the question. Will they accept his falsehood as truth? They knew that they might refrain from taking the fruit and obey the positive injunction of God, or they might violate the expression command of their creator. The mildest test was given to them that could be given, for there was no need of their eating of the forbidden tree. Everything that their want required had been provided. Amen? Okay, and the last one. Now, this one is a token of God's continuing love. After the transgression of Adam, God might have destroyed every opening bud and blooming flower, or he might have taken away their fragrance so gratefully to the sense in the earth seared and marred by the curse. In the briars, the thistle, the thorns, the tares, we may read the law of condemnation, but in the delicate colors and perfume of flowers, we may learn that God still loves us, that his mercy is not wholly withdrawn from the earth. Now, that ending is beautiful. So, brothers and sisters, we still have hope that the Lord will save his people, but it comes with a price, obedience. So let us all seek the Father, truth, and spirit and truth, and love him and get to know him. He said that he would ask us to seek him, and we will find him. And as we do that, we will love him more as he continued to give us his spirit and continue to seek him in worship. So I just want to thank you all for joining us on tonight. And I'm just going to ask that everyone be blessed. And we have our next service on Thursday. It's Health Night. We usually have Health Night, and you can bring your scriptures, songs, just the same as tonight. You can bring it all, and you can give your songs, your scripture song. You can sing. You can, give your testimonies. By God's grace, let us all come and worship together, because after all, in heaven, there won't be no I and it won't be no you, but it's going to be all of us by God's grace, all his saints. So I want to thank you for joining us tonight, and may God be with you and bless you and give you peaceful rest until we meet again. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
And I will just song as the as it goes off. So thank you once again, brothers and sisters, for coming on and sharing with us tonight. Amen.
Amen.
The time of
Amen.
Jacob's trouble. Alas.
Oh.
For that day.
Just a second. That was the wrong one.